Dr. Lois Fuller. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Would like for a few moments of time, if God would bless me, to speak unto you of the law of the Lord. I had so much last night on our minds when Elder Randall was talking, I believe I could have done a better job then than I feel like right now. I am loud, and I get fast, if God blesses me. If He don't, I won't be long before you, but just a very few minutes. Trust that you'll pray for us as we try to stand, not only for us, but for these precious ones that is to follow. There is one other scripture that I want, or maybe two, from the New Testament writings. And I do believe that all 66 books of the Bible is to God's children while they live here on the earth. There may be some of it prophecy. It's all prophecy. It has been at one time or another. For in the sight of God, there's nothing that's new. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And I believe I've experienced that. And experimental preaching, I believe, is the best there is. Teaching is awful good. And I like it. But when you can feel the Spirit, as this precious brother did last night, brother, there's not any place this side of sweet deliverance that's ever going to build you to that estate. That's the only place. And that's the only feeling. That's why the prophet said, the Lord said through the mouth of the apostle, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that's what God has wrote within our hearts, that we might be enabled not only to rejoice in what the letter of the law says, and what the spirit of the law of life says. You know, there's two laws mentioned in the Bible. There's one law that was given by Moses, and there's one that we were made free of. But it's another law. The second one, I want to deal just a little bit with the first, if God would bless me. You know, in the book of John, writing in his epistle in the second one, he said, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children. If I'm not deceived, I'm standing before the children of the elect lady of Almighty God." Now that causes a little tingle to run up and down my spine to be able to be called brother by these precious ones that sat behind me. I confess to you, I'm not like many of you here in Cincinnati Church Art, that you came to the truth. I've known the truth ever since before I was 6 years old, because we moved when I was six, and before we moved from that particular place, I heard Elder R.E. Moffman preach that God would save all of His people and house them in heaven. And I believed that. I was too mean a kid to feel to be a part of it, but I still believed that that was the most wonderful thing that ever was, that God had the power to deliver every one of His children to the pains of sweet deliverance without the loss of one. And I still believe that today. It took 36 years of my life to me to confess it. I held on to the poorest excuse that anybody ever has had. "I'm not worthy." Well, simply what I was doing there was saying that the blood of Christ is not sufficient to clean me up. That's the poorest excuse that anybody ever had for staying out of the old Baptist church, because the blood of Christ is sufficient to clean every one of His children up and to make them reconciled unto God in His sight. Now, you may not be reconciled to God this evening, But I'm here and I want to proclaim to you that God is reconciled to you by the death of His Son and by the blood that He received by the one offering that was offered unto Him. Wasn't offered to you. It was offered unto God because God was the one that was offended. You weren't offended with your sin until the law came and gave you knowledge of that sin. That's why this first law was not given to bring life. It was given that you might know that you're a sinner. If there had been a law given that righteousness could have brought, life, then verily righteousness would have come by the law. But we find that there was no law given. Then why was the law given? To bring the knowledge of sin. Now then you can understand, I believe, a little better why that you don't believe in practicing of the law in order to justify yourself in the sight of God. You practice the law to justify yourself before these brethren that are your pastors. You justify by keeping of the law to justify yourself in the sight of the church. I can prove that by the Bible. Matthew 12, 37 and 38 tells us that we are justified and condemned by the words that proceed forth from our mouth. Not in the sight of God, because the apostle does not contradict Matthew when he said in the third chapter, Galatians, that no flesh shall be justified by the deeds of the law in the sight of God. He doesn't leave us to wonder then where we are justified and in whose sight we are justified here. Now then, let's notice what the law is for just a moment of time. The writer here said that the law is sweet. I'm going to tell you, when you can stand and talk about the law, brother, it sounds good to be justified by the law. But little child of God, I want to tell you that when you begin to put that law into practice, it brings on a different matter. There is something that you become guilty of when you're justified by the law, and that's falling from grace. Oh, yes. You know, we're accused of not believing in falling from grace, and I'll agree to that if you'll define it for me. But the Bible tells me in the writings of the apostle that if you're justified by the law, then are you fallen from grace. I'm going to tell you, grace has no place with the law. A little child of God, that was come by the prophets and Moses, that was brought into this life for them to practice and to know that God was the one that was sending His Son in the future into this earth that they might be enabled to live on looking toward that, that had come into this earth, that they might be enabled to know that He had satisfied the great counsel of justice, the God of heaven that was offended because of your transgression in His sight. Now then, let's look a minute of time. We'll go now to the 10th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Revelations, and we find that there was a book that was given unto the prophet apostles there, and he said to eat it up. He said, in thy awesome mouth it'll be sweet. Let me read you just a little bit here now then about the sweetness of this law and what that it is. There's a few verses we'd like for you to get in your mind. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'm going to tell you, when God commands someone to have light in it. Well, let's just get a scripture. I believe you'll find this in the writings of Paul to the Corinthian brethren when he said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to make us children of God. No, he didn't say that, did he? But he said that to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, little child of God, have you considered what is the glory of Almighty God? God. What is it for the glory of God to be revealed in you through that of the Lord? I'm going to tell you, he said through the mouth of the prophet in years gone by that they he would not give. He's a zealous God, and he'll not give his glory unto another. Why did he make man here upon this earth? If he knew man and he had all foreknowledge, if he knew that man would transgress his law and that he would fall under the law of condemnation of sin and death and would be forever banished from his sight here upon this earth, then why did he go ahead and make him? Because, little child of God, he made a covering for him, and that's what the Lord did. I'm going to tell you that covering through the offering that it was brought, and when he took away the first that he might find the second. Brother, there wasn't anything wrong with the first. He taken the first out of the way because he found fault with them that kept the first because they did not keep it to that in which that God delivered it unto them. They defiled that their priesthood, the highest thing that they had here in the earth, saving that of the prophet, and God left them without that for 400 years here upon this earth. You know, sometimes we talk about the Jews having the kingdom when Christ come to this earth. They knew they didn't have it. Brother, let me prove that by the Bible. He said, is it time for us to restore again the kingdom to Israel? I'm going to tell you, if they still had it, brethren, why did they want it restored again? They knew that it was gone. They realized this. Then what in the world was the trouble with them? What was the trouble with me for 36 years? I'm going to tell you, the pride of the eyes, that in which did we look upon here and there. Oh, yeah, I believe the best lesson that I've ever had taught to me, a little child of God, was taught by a doctor that probably hadn't set a foot in the church for no telling how many years since he'd been a child, I guess. Oh, yeah, I done like most of the rest of you did, or maybe all of you didn't do this away. I started out in the world, you know, and when I joined the church, I thought, well, I'll just tell this to everybody. There won't be anybody I can't tell it to. It didn't take me very long to find out I wasn't near as good a preacher as I was going to be. And, you know, I thought, well, now I'll get in 4 or 5 businesses here right quick and make enough money that all I'll do is just go and preach and do nothing else. And, you know, that's just as contrary to the Bible as daylight and dark is. The Bible says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, brother, because the Lord knows what you have need of. I'm going to tell you, if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, where was I seeking? I was seeking over yonder somewhere else, and then I was going to do what the Lord called me to do, if he's truly called me to preach. And right now, brother, you couldn't make me believe anything else except what God called me from the walk of a dark life. Yes, I said a dark life. I don't believe he regenerated me that time. I remember a little boy playing around Mud Creek Church of 8 or 9 years old. And you know where the water runs off the house. You know, I used to shoot marbles up and down in that. I thought that is what it's made for. And I heard a preacher one time make a statement from the Bible that he couldn't take the Bible and prove that every infant that died in infancy was going to going to heaven. I said, I can. And there was an old brother standing there listening to me at that time. And it still causes tears to well up in that old brother's eyes when it's brought to pass. Oh, yes, I knew back then the salvation by grace. I could defend the doctrine of salvation. I could defend that doctrine of predestination, election, and the foreknowledge of God. But, brother, I had not the right for 36 years. Because I held on to that poor excuse of I'm not worthy to do such. Why, certainly you're not worthy, but little child of God, he that's cleaned you up has made you clean every whit. There's nothing that's lacking in you in the sight of Almighty God. All
all you need to do, a little child of God, is to rise up and walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And God says that He'll add everything to you that you stand in need of. He didn't say He'd add your wants to you, but brother, He said He'd add everything that you stand in need of here upon this earth. I want to tell you, little child of God, when you come to that time in your life when you can see the blessed Lord of glory as He is there in third chapter of 1 John where He says we'll see Him as He is. I believe God's children are able to see Christ as He is here upon this earth. I believe that they're able to understand that He satisfied the law of divine justice in the sight of God and that they stand justified in His sight, never to be remembered against them anymore. I'm going to tell you, He said He put them as far as the east is from the west. Now this morning when I got up over at the motel, the Holiday Inn, the sun rose in the south for me. But, you know, it didn't take very long for me to realize that that was me instead of the sun. The sun rose exactly where it always rose in the east. Now, there's an awful good point in that. I didn't put that to you just to wake you up or to get you to laughing. If you can go to sleep with my loud voice, why, you just go right ahead. And I'll get loud enough directly maybe to wake you up before my time runs out. Now then, I want you to notice with me just a moment of time. He said He put them in the land of forgetfulness. Now, we say sometimes God never forgot anything. Brother, there's one thing He did. The Bible says He did. That He put them in the land of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. As far as the east is the west. I don't know how many of you here hold a pilot license, but you can get in one of the jets and you can start out toward the sun. And we've done, I used to do that in the service a lot. Just lay back a hold to the stick and just fly right toward the sun. Well, brother, if you guys didn't run out, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You'd never go west. You'd be going toward the sun from now on. So how far a distance is it? It can't be numbered. He put our sins in the land of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. I'm going to tell you, brother, that's long enough that God has justified us in His sight through the death of His Son. And He has paid the debt that we had nothing to pay with. Now then, we go back just a moment to the law here. And we look now then at that law. Oh yes, as we said, it's sweet when you begin to talk about keeping the law. But brother, when you put it into practice, as John did, when the angel said, take the little book, I eat it up. It's going to be sweet in your mouth, but when it hits your bowels, it's going to be bitter. I'm going to tell you, when you have to start keeping the law, brother, you're falling from grace to justify yourself in the sight of God, and that's why it's bitter. But you know there was something that was told to John a little further on there. He said, thou must prophesy again unto many peoples and nations and kings here upon this earth. And now then, let's look just a moment of time when we find the angel descending down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, brother. You can't have that heaven because He come down out of heaven. He declared one foot in the sea and one in the dry land, declaring that times shall be no more. And I'm going to tell you, brother, there was an end of it. Worse than the end of the world, Christ suffered the ungodly, the godly for the ungodly. And He has imputed unto us as a young brother mentioned this morning about blessed is the character to whom God doth not impute sin. That used to bother me a whole lot. But brother, it's just a simple statement that God made a man blessed that He don't impute sin to. Do you believe? Have you ever felt a little child of God to be a sinner? I'm going to tell you, you've received the law when you feel that, because by the law is the knowledge of sin brought to light here upon this earth. That's the only way, a little child of God, that you know you're a sinner, is by God's law being delivered unto you, and you receiving that that you are a sinner here upon this earth. So then when you recognize that you're a sinner, then something's wrong with you. You're just a miserable character. As Elder Robert Harlan said, that's just a pure mask. The Apostle Paul said, that which I thought was unto life, I found to be unto death. And that which I thought was unto death, I found to be unto life. Then he said, I see another law, one against the law of my members, bringing me into subjection. Now listen to what the Apostle John said there in the second time. He said, consider yourself. Oh, you know, it's awful easy to consider somebody else. That's what the law does for you. It helps you consider other people. But here, Paul John said, consider yourself. You know, I'm kind of like Brother Randall about that. There's a lot of things I don't like when I consider me. More especially when I get to looking in the mirror. Like Brother Randall, I'm just about to go bald-headed, you know, and I don't do much with my hair anymore, so I just don't have any opportunity to look at myself too much anymore. And that's just as well. I heard a brother preach this past summer at an association, I don't recall just now which one. I've been permitted to be in a big meeting every weekend since the first Sunday in June. And brethren and sisters, God has blessed me. He's blessed me above any measure of merit that any poor human being can have here upon this earth. But little child of God, when the effort is put forth, and I want to finish up the story quickly now before we have to sit down, that I felt like crawling under that doctor's desk as I walked in. You know, I began, as we told you, to try to do everything in the world. I was going to get enough income that all I'd have to do is just, so to speak, take it easy and not worry about having any expense, not be a burden on any church anywhere, but just have enough to take care of me and my family and not have to ask anybody for anything or take any offering from anybody there upon this earth. And you know, that didn't last very long. I believe I'd been in the ministry about 18 months when I began to have a great big knot that swelled up in my top part of my stomach here. And you know, it got so bad. I believe if I hadn't got a little relief, I'd have busted. It got so bad when I went out to the doctor. You know, he told me, he said, there's one of three things wrong with you. You've either got heart trouble, you've got a ulcerated stomach or hiatal hernia, one of the three. And when he examined me, there wasn't any of those things in the right. I had a valve in the bottom of my stomach, and I can't tell you the name of it. He said, it's a bowel valve. One of them's a cardiac that leaks the acid into the stomach. The other leaks it out. This one's irritated, and it just kept building up. And he said, it feels just exactly like a heart attack. But sitting there in that doctor's office, you know, he looked around at me. He said, tell me about yourself, boy. What you're doing? I said, well, I started. I bought an old farm. I'm trying to clean it up. I'm building some catfish lakes on it. And I'm also working with a power company 8 hours a day. And my wife, you know, sometimes she gets a little smart anyway. But as she was sitting there beside me, said, yes, and he preaches 11 times a month, rode over a distance of about 250 miles. He looked over. He said, what in the world do you do in your spare time? And you know, as he been, began to tell me, and he thought back for just a moment of time, and he looked over at me. He said, ain't there some place in the Bible where that the Lord said, take care of your body, that it's a temple of the Holy Ghost? I felt like crawling under his desk. I thank you. May God bless you for your kind attention.
Elder Don Ferris.
Trust that you'll continue to pray. In a text that is commonly called a funeral sermon, the 23rd Psalm, I believe the psalmist knew what he was talking about when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He knew from many standpoints, I believe, what he was talking about, from physical experiences and of his own as a shepherd boy, as well as knowing the things that the Lord had taught him as he was one of God's anointed to be king over Israel. And when he said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely, there was more meaning in this than we can imagine. I've been made to feel many times during this meeting that surely the Lord is my shepherd, for I haven't wanted of those things. This afternoon, as I come before you, I'd like to have an interest in your prayers that I might feel free to speak those things that come to my mind. Some of the things that I might say might be illustrated in this way. The things of God are not new, but I have an automobile, the bank and I, that when I purchased it, or agreed to pay for it, that it had 79,000 miles on it. Somebody said, "Preacher, you've got a new car." "Yes, sir, sure have." "Well, not really new, but new to me." There's a lot of things in this book, as I've learned in the past years, that were not new to God, but they were new to me. But nevertheless, they were still there, still true, still right, and still profitable unto me for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. And I trust the same is true for you, that we might be more mature in the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said something on this wise as he talked about the time when the prophecies and the tongues would come to their closing, that then abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. He went ahead to tell us of how it was that when he was a child, he spake as a child, he understood as a child, he thought as a child. But when he became a man, he put away childish things. I come to believe that that man found some things that were new to him with reference to his God, but they were still not new. They had been,